Open first to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading here in verse 1. I'm going to wait until you find Luke. That is in the New Testament. Always has been. They haven't moved it. If you find it in the Old Testament, you definitely need a new Bible. So beginning here in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, speaking of Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is there at the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fish which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. That's a powerful story. I think you'd probably take this one passage and preach it from now until the time Jesus comes back and never run out of a different angle on this whole thing. But I want to point some things out to you in this that speak to us today relative to our relationship with the Lord and concerning a lot of things that a lot of Christians go through. And you'll understand by the time we're finished here. If you'll notice, Jesus, he's going to be teaching a whole lot of people. And in verse 2 it says there were two ships right there at the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and notice what they were doing. It says they were washing their nets. Well, what does that mean? Well, it's time to go home. When you're a fisherman, you don't go home until after you've washed your nets, and you don't wash your nets until you're done fishing. Because back in those days, they would have these nets they would use for fishing, and every time you're done, if you were a good fisherman and knew what you were doing, you would search the nets for any tears or breaks, and you would spend time mending the nets. And then you would wash the nets, make sure they were good and clean. And these guys had at least two ships, and the boats had to have been pretty decent because, you know, these guys were professional fishermen. I mean, we know this from other stories that we read here in the four Gospels. And so it's time to quit. It's time to go home. And we saw later here how they'd been, fishing all night long, and you know they're tired. Anytime you do anything all night long, you're tired when the sun comes up. So it's morning, and Jesus is here on the scene. And he sees these guys. He sees the two boats, and he sees these fishermen, and they're cleaning their nets. Now, he knows they're done. He knows fishing. People back in that day, they understood the process of fishing. They knew what that industry was like. And so they knew if you've got a fisherman out there, and his ships are there on the land, and he's washing his nets, he's done. He's finished. He's ready to go home and eat some Cocoa Puffs. He's finished for the day. He's tired. He wants to go home, go to bed. He doesn't want to do anything else. You understand this? Especially if it's been a lousy day at the office, which we know it had been. And so Jesus, he looks at this and he sees these guys. And he sees they're washing their nets. And who knows? I mean, it says they've been fishing all night long and hadn't caught anything. Now, if you are in sales and you've made calls all day long and you don't sell anything and your income is based upon what you sell and you've had a day of nothing, are you going to be in a good mood? If you're a fisherman and your life depends on catching fish and selling them at the market, and if you have no fishies, you have no monies, and you spend all night. First off, nobody wants to spend all night doing anything. Nobody, except for sleeping. That you want to do all night. But anything else than that, you don't want to do it all night. But these guys were spending all night fishing. And it wasn't because they're stupid. It's because they knew that's when they needed this time of year, the situation. That's when you got to go do it. All night long, they're fishing. Who knows how long it's been since they've had any sleep? We don't know. But it's sunrise, and all they can think about is going home, and there they are, they're washing their nets. And do you think it's possible, just possible, they might have been grumbling a little bit? All night long, ain't got a thing. It's stupid. I need to be a carpenter, do something. They're not happy. And Jesus walks up and he sees that. But let me ask you something. Does their situation matter to him? Now, I mean, is he upset that maybe they're upset? Does he think, well, these guys are in a pretty raunchy mood. And you don't want to mess with, you know, mad fishermen. You know, they might throw the net over you. You don't want to mess with these guys. No. I mean, look at this. Look in verse 2. Or verse 3. It says that Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed to him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Okay, now here you are. You're Simon. Now you're not in your boat. Remember we just read that you're not in your boat. Your boat is empty. You're over here washing your nets. And you hear this voice. Here comes this crowd of people following this one guy. And you're washing your nets. You want to go home. You want to call it a day and go home. You want to get some sleep. You want to get something to eat. You're tired. You didn't make any money. You're thinking, how am I going to, you know, pay my cable bill? That it's been a rough night. And you're washing your nets. And then here comes Jesus. And he doesn't even ask. He just steps in your boat. If you're Peter, what's going through your mind right now? Who is this? What's he think he's doing? And the other guys that are with you, you know, y'all just kind of stop washing your nets. And you kind of look at each other like, what's going on here? And then you look at Peter, because this is Peter's ship. And, you know, we can read from the four Gospels, Peter was kind of a rough and tumble guy at times. So they kind of look over at Peter. I can just see Peter. I mean, he's probably on the last strand of net, getting it washed. And he's thinking, finally, I get to go home. And then he looks over here and Jesus just walks into his boat. And he's thinking, what are you doing? And then Jesus turns around and says, can we go for a little ride? And Peter, why did he do that? Why verse 3. Why did he do this? Why did Peter go along with this? Quite frankly, I'm not sure. Seriously. But I can speculate. There's a whole bunch of people expecting this guy Jesus to do something. Now, if you don't do that, how's it going to make you look? Besides that, what if there are potential fish customers in this bunch? I mean, I really don't know the fullness of what motivated Peter to agree after all night and being dog tired to go ahead and give in to Jesus' request. But it says here that Jesus stepped into his boat. Now, what does that represent to us? Okay, what was the boat to Peter? That was everything to him. That was his life. That was his job. That was his income. That was his career. That was when he went home every day. He would talk about, you know, his wife would say, well, honey, how was fishing today? Did you have a big catch? Wives, you know that's what she would have asked. What you would have asked. When your income depends on catching fish, you know you would have asked, did you have a good catch today? How'd it go today? What was it like? Were the waves bad? Was the weather okay? I mean, all these kind of things that you would ask. And so, this boat represented his very existence, every aspect of his life. What does this mean to us when Jesus steps into the boat? What it means is that Jesus wants to step smack dab in the middle of everything about your life. He wants to step right into the middle of your home situation, of your job situation, of your finances. He wants to step in the middle of the relationship between you and your wife and husband, between you and the kids. He wants to step smack dab in the middle of your ministry, in the middle of everything that you do. He wants to step right there in the middle of it. And the reason is because He's got something for you. He's got something for your life. He's got something He wants to give you. He's got something He wants to impart to you. He's got something that He wants to share with you. He's got revelation that He wants to give to you. But unless you let Him in the boat, He can't give it to you. Unless you allow Him to be a part of your life. It says here, He got in the boat and He sat down. He wants to step into your financial situation and sit down. He wants to step into your home life and sit down. He wants to step into your relationships and sit down. He wants to step into everything, everything about your life, and sit down right there and talk to you about it and minister to you about it. And so He says, look, Simon, I'm here in your boat. I'm asking, would you thrust out a little bit from the land? And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, well, if He thrusts out a little bit from the land, what's happening? What's happening is this. The moment that they push off from shore and they go out just a little, I don't know how far, but they go out 15, 20, 30 feet, whatever it is from shore. There's Peter in the boat with Jesus and whoever else was in the boat with him. But they're surrounded by what? Water. What's that mean? That means you can't do anything. You're just stuck right there. You're not going to jump overboard. There you are. It's just you and Jesus in that boat. What does that mean? What that means is this. The only way that you're going to receive from the Lord is if you thrust out a little bit. Meaning, you separate yourself from everything else that is a distraction in your life. You've got to thrust out away from everything that the shore represents. In fact, when you read in this story, you'll notice that he separated himself from his business partners because the others were still on shore. It was just Peter and Jesus. They're in that one boat. And the only way that you're going to clearly receive anything from the Lord is if you separate yourself. This is one of the things that I have shared in the past. How that it's fun to be with other believers and it's fun to be in church, but there comes a time when you've got to be alone with God. You've got to have some intimacy with Him. Because it's in those quiet times of intimacy that you're going to hear the most from the Lord. It's in those quiet times of aloneness with Him that you're going to get the most information, the most revelation. Those are the times that really you're going to feel His touch more than any other time. And a lot of people think that, no, you got to be in a congregation with a high-powered service before you're really going to feel a touch from God. Well, a lot of those high-powered services are nothing more than a bunch of stirred-up emotions that make people think they've gotten something from God when really they haven't. The best time to get a touch from God is when you thrust off from shore, meaning you separate yourself from the things that produce the most stress in your life. You say, well, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. You know how my mom used to do it? When we were growing up, Mom used to separate herself. She used to thrust out from shore. And the way that she would do it would be to get her Bible and go into the bathroom and lock the door. Now, what complicated this was the fact we only had one bathroom in the house. And we knew if Mom had her Bible in the hand and she's walking in the direction, you better be fast and cut in front of her because she's going to be in there for a while. That's how Mom thrust out from shore. And she'd go in that bathroom and she'd lock the door and she'd turn on that fan, the ceiling fan, to block out the other noise. Not that us kids ever made any, but she wanted to block. And do you see what I'm saying here? She thrust out to be alone with Jesus, to be alone from Him, with Him. And this is what we're going to have to do. Don't say you can't do it. If you've got a bathroom in your house, you can do it. You can thrust out from shore, go in there and lock the door. Tell everybody you got 5 minutes, get in there and get it done. Because I'm thrusting from shore. And just let them take care of business and go in there. And then tell them, if you're smart, you won't drink anything for the next hour. Because once that door locks shut, I ain't coming out. Not till I've had my time with Jesus. You have a basement? You have a garage? I don't know. I can tell you one thing that you do have other than a bathroom, though. Look around you. Right here. Look around you. You've got a building. A church building that you can come to and separate yourself. And we've got classrooms. You can go into one of those classrooms and shut the door and thrust off from shore to be with Jesus. You got a sanctuary that you can come and sit in. You got little rooms on the side of the sanctuary. You can go in there. What I'm saying is, it's there if you want it. If you want to thrust off from shore, you can do it. But you have to do it if you want to get alone with the Lord and receive from Him what it is that He wants you to have for your life. Look in verse 4. And when he had left speaking, in other words, when the teaching is finished, he says to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Launch out into... What just happened here? What just happened? He got a word from the Lord, did he not? He got a personal word from the Lord that he would not have received if he had not thrust off from shore and separated himself from everything else. And he sat, now listen to this, he sat in the presence of the Lord listening as Jesus taught these people. And he's hearing all of this. And I don't know for sure everything that Jesus taught that day. But when he had finished teaching, he turns to Simon and he says, Peter, thrust out into the deep and put your nets down into the water for a catch. He got a specific word from the Lord. And what was that specific word about? His need, was it not? He didn't have any fish. Imaginary scenario. They're washing their nets and they're upset. They're disappointed. They're discouraged. And in my mind, I can just imagine Peter saying, oh God, we've got to have some fish. We've got to have some fish. Oh God, please help us the next time we're out here to catch some fish. The Bible doesn't say he prayed and asked that, but I can imagine that maybe he did. Then the Lord shows up with his answer. And Peter did not protest when Jesus stepped into the boat, stepping into the middle of his life. He let it happen. You don't have to let Jesus step into the middle of your life, you know. You can do everything yourself. But if you've been doing that lately, you found out it doesn't work. Hey, listen. Have you ever noticed nobody in your life changes when you try to change them? You figured that one out yet? But when you let Jesus step into your boat, things can be different. The first, you know what? When Jesus steps into your boat, you know who he wants to change first is you. You know why? Because he wants to change you from trying to change everybody else. He wants to change you. He wants you to realize you can't do it. And so here's Peter. They don't have any fish. Jesus is teaching. And then right there in that boat, that place of separation with the Lord, he turns to Peter and he says, Peter, launch out into the deep for a catch. A lot of people would row back to shore before they get the word from the Lord. In other words, they don't stay separated unto the Lord long enough to hear him speak. How long did Jesus speak? Well, I don't know. An hour? Half an hour? 20 minutes? 15 minutes? 3 hours? I'm not really sure. Maybe there's something in Scripture that indicates I don't know it yet. But however long it was, Peter was there and he heard this. And then Jesus, when he's finished teaching, he turns and he looks at Peter and he says, I want you to go on out to the deep water and I want you to throw your nets over for a catch. A lot of people cry out and they want a word from the Lord. I want to hear God. I want a word from the Lord. I'm telling you, you can get a word from the Lord, but you've got to separate yourself from Him. One of the reasons a lot of people show up to churches, I've had a lot of people do this with me. Brother Martin, you got a word for me? You got a word for me? A word from the Lord? You know, you got a, is the Lord giving you something for me? It's like, no. Then they almost sometimes act like insulted. What do you mean? What do you mean? You mean I'm not important enough for the Lord to give you a word for me? I mean, come on, man. You must not be listening to God. Or He'd give you a word for me. How about the other way around? You must not be listening to God or you wouldn't come to me for a word. He'll speak to you. But you've got to get alone with Him. You've got to separate yourself unto Him. You've got to spend time in His presence. And Peter receives a specific word from the Lord. Something that addresses his specific need at this moment. You know, there in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, Don't get weary in well-doing. Because if you continue, I'm paraphrasing, if you persevere in this, you are going to reap everything God wants you to reap into your life. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due time, you're going to reap this harvest. So he tells Peter, shove off into deep water. And look at verse 5. Peter says, Master, we've toiled all the night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, you've got to remember, these guys are professionals. These guys knew what to do. They were fishermen. This is what they did for their life. Now, let me ask you a question. If rowing out into the deep at this time of the morning was when they would have caught the most fish, would they have been there all night long? Or would they have shown up earlier, just a little bit earlier, and already been out there in the deep? In other words, it didn't make any sense at this particular time of the year to be out in the deep, casting your nets, trying to catch fish. We're the pros. Jesus, you're the carpenter. You stick to woodworking. Alright? Leave the fishing to us. We don't tell you how to make rocking chairs. You don't tell us how to fish. They had done everything they... Now listen to this. They had done everything they knew to do. And I'll guarantee you this, they'd already been out there in the deep. There ain't no fish, Jesus. We've already been out there. We've been in the deep, we've been in the shallow, we've been in the medium, we've been everywhere on this lake. Trust me, Jesus. The fish are avoiding us like the plague. It's like it's some kind of a game. They see us coming and they swim to the other side. We go over there and they swim back over here. And they're laughing the whole time. We know it. We see the little air bubbles coming up from the laughter. If we were supposed to go out into the deep right now, Jesus, trust me, we would be there fishing and catching fish. We have done everything that makes sense. We have done everything the pros have taught us to do. We have done everything our ancestors taught us to do. We have done everything right according to the book. We haven't made any mistakes whatsoever, and it didn't work. Now, you're telling us to do something we know, at least we think we know, won't work. You're telling us to do something that completely contradicts everything that I know from my habits, from my behaviors, from my day-to-day life. You're telling me to do something that nobody else believes will work, that nobody else teaches. You're telling me to do something that I have never heard at any fishing seminar. And Jesus, I have watched every fishing show on ESPN, and I'm telling you, this won't work. But there was something about the words of Jesus that touched Peter in such a way to where he agreed, all right, at your word, I'll do this. What was he agreeing to? Now listen to this. What was he agreeing to?
Well, he was agreeing to go out and catch some fish.
No, no. He was agreeing to try and catch fish. Because as of now, he still didn't believe he was going to catch anything. Not really. You can see this later on. They were surprised they caught anything. He agreed to try. What did that represent to him? More stinking work. My nets are clean. And you're asking me to get them dirty all over again. You're asking me to row. I don't see you with any oars in your hands, Jesus. You're asking me to row further out into the deep. My back is tired. We have rowed all night all over this lake. And you're telling me that I need to go out there and do this. All right, I'll do it. It represented more work for him. Now listen to this. It represented more physical effort on his part. How many of you know it's an easy thing to do, but praying in tongues requires physical effort. Worship requires physical effort. I'm not even going to talk about the physical effort of fasting. We'll leave that. Yeah, let's move on to the Word. It takes physical effort to confess the Word. Physical effort to read the Word without falling asleep. And you should have amen big time on that one, because I know you've been there, done that. I'm going to read the Word tonight. In the beginning. We've all been there. It takes physical effort to do this. And Jesus was telling Peter, put forth physical effort. How many of us have gotten to the point in our lives to where we have felt like we just don't want to do it anymore? We are tired of trying. Fed up with making an effort for change. I'm tired of dealing with this stuff anymore. And we, you know, the list goes on and on. And we go, listen, we go to the Lord and we want to get a word from the Lord. What we really want is not a word from the Lord, because I'm telling you, when you get a word from the Lord, it is going to require more physical effort on your part. What we really want is for the Lord to say, now you just sit right there. I'm going to take my magic wand. Abracadabra, shimmy shammy bing bong. Woo! I'll fix it for you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's what we really mean when we say we want to get a word from the Lord. What we don't want to hear is row further out into the deeper water and have to dirty our nets all over again. I've washed my nets, meaning I quit. If you want this situation changed, Jesus, have at it. But I'm done. I'm just... Right here, Jesus. Fed up. Right here. Right here. That husband of mine, I'm ready to throw him out into the deep. You understand what I'm saying, Jesus? Then let him swim to shore. Feed him to the fish. They got to be hungry by now. Those kids of mine. Fooey on it. You guys know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. I want a word from the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm going to thrust out from shore. Oh, yes. Oh, Jesus, I just need a word. And then he speaks. Hello. Yes, Lord, is that you?
Yes, it's me.
Oh, finally you showed up. Oh, what about this? What do I do?
Pray another 12 hours.
No, 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 no. Uh-uh. No. You're supposed to be the miracle worker. Let's have one. He says, no. You need to pray another 12 hours. You need to spend another 8 hours worshiping. You need another grand total of 62 hours of confession over this. And you also need to... No, don't say that one, Jesus. I like my food too much. And so, He gives you a word and it represents more physical effort on your part. And we don't want to do it. We just want Him to sweep in. And notice, Jesus, He told him what was coming. He says, Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets to catch fish. He didn't say try to catch fish. He said, let your nets down to catch. And Peter still wasn't 100% convinced. Well, look what happened here. He did it. In verse 6. And when they had done this, it says they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. See, it's one thing if your net breaks when you're not catching anything. But when you've got so many fish that your net begins to break, suddenly it doesn't matter anymore. You'll be more than happy to spend another 3 hours washing and mending your nets. How many times after a great victory do you feel an emotional surge that now it's worth it to spend a little more time in worship? It's worth it to spend a little more time in prayer. Ooh, this stuff really does work! Until the next time you fished all night long and you're tired and you feel like giving up again. And then the Lord comes along and gives you another word. More effort on your part. More prayer. I've prayed enough. By now everybody in China ought to be saved, Jesus. More prayer. More worship. And it says here they caught this fish. This multitude. I mean, not just a little bit, but a multitude. A multitude. In other words, the word that Peter received that made absolutely no sense to him is the one thing that produced the most results that he was seeking. And see, he wasn't just seeking a multitude of fish. He just wanted to catch enough to get by. I mean, a multitude would be great, but this is an abundance. This is an exceeding abundance. This is way beyond expectations. And so, he says, we'll do it. And they go out there and he does what the Lord says to do. The Lord says, spend time, more time praying. Well, all right, at your word, I'll do it. But on the inside, you're thinking, I don't know what difference it's going to make because it hasn't changed anything yet. Anybody felt like that? All your praying in tongues that you've done hasn't changed anything yet. I don't see any change yet. All this worship just makes my mouth dry and my tongue fat. How much more can a man take? He says, well, just do it some more. And you don't think it's going to work, but you say, well, all right, fine. And so you do it, and then all of a sudden something happens, and the change that takes place is above and beyond what you could ever ask or think. Which is exactly what the Lord says. That He'll bless us and move in our lives above and beyond what we could ask or think. And to Peter, there's no way you catch this much fish at this time of the day. You can't. If you could, we'd do it. We'd been there. We'd have caught it. But you can't. And Jesus says, well, yeah, you can. If you act on my word. Now, you know Peter's got to be scratching his head right about now thinking, where'd these fish come from? We were out here all night. I mean, we didn't even catch one little minnow. Nothing. Not even a guppy. Not even a goldfish. Nothing. Now all of a sudden, we've got so many fish, the nets start to break. But I want you to see what else happened here. In verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. Listen. This is the kind of blessing you want. A blessing that just fills your life to the point your ship starts to sink. Hallelujah, Jesus, my boat's going down, but it's great. See, here's what happened. Jesus gave Peter a word that Peter would never have received if he hadn't spent time in the presence of the Lord and stayed there long enough to get this word. He got this word from the Lord and he acted on it even though it didn't make any sense, even though it represented more physical effort, even though it meant getting the nets dirty all over again and doing what he had done over and over. The Lord says, do it. So he hears this word from the Lord and he acts on it and he does it. And the end result is not only Peter blessed and abundantly blessed and overflowingly blessed, but the miracle that took place in Peter's life, the blessing, it impacted the people around him. It changed their lives. It increased their income relative to this story. How many of you, I mean, if you had a kid that's messed up on drugs and you persevere, you get that word from the Lord, and then you stay in there and you keep doing what the Lord says, even though to you it doesn't make any sense because you've done it and you've done it and you've done it and you haven't seen any change yet, but because the Lord said, give me another 10 hours, give me another 3 hours, give me, and you do it, if you see that change take place in that child, how many other kids might be impacted by the miracle deliverance in your child? You see this? How many more people might be impacted by the healing that manifests in your body or somebody else's? I mean, on and on this goes. It's not just about you. Because any time the Lord moves in somebody's life and there is a spectacular move, a spectacular healing or deliverance or a blessing or whatever it would be, it impacts the people around you as well. And these guys didn't get a word from the Lord. But they still got the blessing. Think about it. They didn't get this word. But they still got the blessing. How many of us, we get a word from the Lord and we act on it. Not only are we going to be blessed, but the people around us are going to be blessed as well. Our family members are going to be blessed. Does that mean they're all going to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Well, hopefully. But one thing's for sure, they'll never escape the testimony of what God did for you. And the thing is, this move of God was so spectacular, it couldn't have happened any other way. And by a miraculous, spectacular, divine move of God. Look in verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. In other words, suddenly he realizes, this guy in my ship, this guy's not like anybody else. There's something supernatural about this guy. There's something divine about him. There's something godly about him. There is something so different about him that I can't even compare. I don't fully understand what it is about him, but there's something about him that now I am fully humbled. Well, he just got hurt, done hearing him teach about the kingdom of God. Now he realizes this guy, he not only knows about the kingdom of God, he must be a part of it. There's something about him. What's this mean to us? When you get a word from the Lord like this, and you act on it, you're going to get the results. Didn't Jesus say, shove out into the deep water for a catch? A big catch. If the Lord gives you a word and you act on it, you are going to get the results. You're going to have your multitude of fish, whatever that means to you in your situation. It's going to happen. There's no if. There's no maybe. It's going to happen. Absolutely. What? You think the Lord's going to tell you to do something only to sit back and laugh because he knows it's not going to work? What if Peter had said, nah, I don't think so. I mean, you know, you're a good teacher and everything, but I'm tired, Jesus. I'm tired. I have fought this battle all night long. I gave you this extra amount of time here. Why don't you make the fish jump out of the lake into my boat? I mean, just talk to him, you know? God spoke to a big fish and it swallowed Jonah. So why don't you have a bunch of little ones jump in my boat here? I'm tired, Jesus. I want to go home. I just want to rest. I just want to relax. I'm tired. My body aches. We've all been there. But he didn't do that. All right, I'll give you... You know what happened? He throws that net over. Still hadn't caught anything. Not until he starts to pull that net back in. When he starts to pull that net back in, guess who suddenly woke up? Guess who suddenly wasn't as tired anymore? Guess who suddenly didn't have an achy back as bad as what he had before? Guess whose arms suddenly got a surge of adrenaline to pull that? You know that, man, all of a sudden Peter's like, wow, look at this, look at this. And they pull these fish in, and the net starts breaking, and he yells out, yo! Get out of here! We found the mother load of fish! And so they get in their boats and they come out and they fill both ships to the point that they start to sink. And they're hurrying to get back to shore to unload their catch. And the whole time, you know what they're hearing? Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. It's like, all right. But Peter realized that he was in the presence of somebody supernatural. When you begin to act on the word from God and you begin to see that word manifest before your very eyes, it's going to be humbling. You're going to realize God really does come through. He really is as big as He says He is. He really does keep His word the way He said He'll keep His word. He really is faithful. He really is just. He'll be there for me all the time, which is nothing new to Him. But we act like it is to us. And this realization hit Peter. And if you look here in verse 9, it says, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him." I mean, the whole bunch. Peter, his partners, their employees, all of them were astonished at how much fish they caught. What does that tell us? It means that they had probably, in all their years of fishing, they had probably never had a catch like this. Why would you be astonished at something that's the norm? Why would you be astonished at something that's slightly above the norm? This had to have, I mean, seriously? These guys are, you know, hauling these fish into shore, and I'm sure they began to joke. Yeah, I bet there ain't another fish left out there. Look at all this. They thought they caught everything. It was incredible. It was unbelievable. They were astonished. Think about this. We pray for people, a healing manifests, and we get astonished. Astonished at the fact that it happened. I mean, the Bible says, "Cast out your nets in the deep, and they shall be healed." So what do you mean? Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Same thing. And so, when we do it, and then a healing manifests, it's like, oh, it happened. Did you see that? Are you astonished? Yes, I am. Why, this? They got healed. And it's like, yeah. Where's the hospital? I'll empty that. They were astonished because God had done something beyond what they had ever anticipated in their lives. They'd never experienced anything like this. All because of one word from the Lord. All because of Peter's willingness to do this. All because he acted upon what the Lord told him. And Jesus, look in verses 10 through 11. "And so also James, John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon, and Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Now notice this. In verse 10, we've got James and John that were partners with Simon. But in verse 10, who is Jesus talking to? Is he speaking to James and John and Simon? He's just talking to Simon. Jesus says to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth you'll catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. See that? Peter's obedience and the resulting miracle and move of God convinced the people around him that God was real and worth following. Think about this. You act on a word from God and the end result is so astonishing that the people around you begin to realize that God is everything you've been telling them, and they understand now He is worth following. He's worth committing my life to. And what's interesting is that this right here, where it says they forsook all and followed him, this was the day that they were called into the training process for their ministry. Because from this day forward, they were training with Jesus for approximately 3.5 years, getting ready for the upper room in Acts chapter 2. This is the day, let this sink in, this was the day that they received a divine call of God upon their lives to be trained to fulfill the role of apostle to the church. What if Peter had said, "No, I don't feel like casting my net anymore"? Is it possible? Is it possible that you are washing your nets and missing out on what God's trying to do in your life? What does that mean? Are you ready to quit? Are you ready to give up? Are you ready to just say, no, it's not worth it? Are you ready to say, I can't go on? Are you washing your nets? Are you ready to go home and go to bed? Are you ready to stop? Are you ready to just lay it down and say, no, no more? Or do you want to thrust out a little bit more? Risk the chance you may have to get your nets dirty again. But the end result is going to be more than you have ever asked God for in your life. The end result is going to be a revelation of your ministry calling. The end result is going to be a supernatural miracle healing in your body. The end result is going to be a miraculous deliverance in your life or in the life of somebody else. The end result is going to be a move of God that you have never anticipated. The end result is going to be something that to you and the others around you is going to be absolutely astonishing that anything like this could happen. And they realized, they realized Jesus was worth following. It says they forsook all. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. What did they forsake? What did they forsake? All the fish! The very thing they had been trying to get a hold of all night long. Their miracle blessing. All these fish flopping all over the shore. the noise. All, you ever seen fish come out of water and they flop around before they die? Sounds morbid. But, it sounds like people clapping. And, you know, all this fish that they would have caught, it would have sounded like a standing ovation. Yay, you're going to follow Jesus and not eat us. Hallelujah. Can we go back to the lake? Peter, James, and John left all of that to the people with them. Left it. That represented money. That represented vacation. That represented a new chariot. Six white horses. Who knows what it represented to them? They forsook all. Left the boats and everything to follow Jesus. You know why? It's because they came to the conclusion, bless God, if He can do that in 30 minutes' time, what can He do if I commit my entire life to Him? What can He do if I realize it's worth it to follow Him anywhere He goes? And I'm telling you right now, in spite of all the persecution, they were glad they did. They saw miracle after miracle. Eventually, it got to the point to where Jesus used them to perform miracles. Jesus blessed the bread and the fish, and they're the ones that divided among the thousands. They worked a miracle with their hands. And I'm guaranteeing you from that day forward, they would sit around the campfire and still talk about that. They were talking about it all through the book of Acts. Boy, John, wasn't that neat, man? 28 years ago, all those people, we just kept breaking and kept feeding and kept breaking. And all the other people in the book of Acts sitting around listening to that story. Wow, that really happened? Yeah, really happened. They cast out devils. They laid hands on the sick. They were used mightily of God. They saw things happen that would never have happened if they hadn't. And it all goes back to Peter being willing to act on a word from God. Think of all the thousands of people whose lives were changed for all eternity because Peter agreed to put forth the physical effort to row out into the deep and throw out his nets that were clean and ready to go home just because he got a word from the Lord. Man, let that sink in. How many of us have received a word from the Lord? Well, let's just say none of us. What's that mean we need to do? We need to thrust out it a little ways from shore and separate ourselves. He's waiting to talk to us. He's waiting to give us instruction. He's waiting to give that word to us that will change our lives and the lives of people around us. I want that word. I need to separate myself. I want to see people's lives changed. And see, this is the one thing. I think I'm kind of like a lot of other people sometimes. It's kind of, remember that story where the one fellow looked at Jesus and he said, "I believe. Help me with my unbelief." I think we're all kind of like that more than what we'd like to admit when it comes to believing the Word of God. I believe praying in tongues will work, but help me with my unbelief. Because I'd sure like to see instant results. God can't lie. Whatever He says in here works. This is an example of what one person can do that changes the lives of thousands. Every one of us in here has the potential to be the next Simon Peter. Separate, get that word, act on it, and get the guaranteed results. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And there He is. God. He just waited. He's just sitting and waiting. Come on. Thrust out a little bit from shore. Get alone with me. Spend some time here in my presence. And I'm going to speak to you. And I will give you a divine word that will lead to a fulfillment of a divine destiny in your life. Praise God. I don't know about you, but that encourages me to want to get alone with Him just a little bit more. Amen.